Not many people get to grow up in a sod hut with caribou herds as your neighbors. Coming up on today's Travel with Rick Steves, Seth Kantner tells us what it's like living in the Alaskan Arctic, upriver from Kotzebue. And on the other end of the spectrum, author Katie Marin shares why a romantic garden designed by a princess in central Italy is one of her favorite places to visit in the world. Let's start the hour with our old friend Ferdy Mengi. He was raised in Belgium, and no matter where he's lived, in Europe and in the U.S., Ferdy will always be proud to be a Belgian. You know, when you're dreaming about traveling through Europe, Belgium often falls through the cracks. It's a little country, about 10 million people, the size of Maryland. It happens to be about the most brightly lit place in Europe. There's actually a term for it. NASA astronauts, when they look down from outer space, they see a bright, well-lit spot in Europe. They call it the Belgian window. There's lots to see in Belgium besides just bright lights from outer space. And I'm joined by Ferdinando Mengi, who was born and raised in Belgium. And for the last decade or so, he's been a tour guide. Ferdy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Rick.
Ferdinando, when you think about Belgium, I mean, you're up against London and Paris and the Rhine River and the Swiss Alps. Why should somebody stop in Belgium?
Well, Belgium is just a unique place. I mean, look at the size of it. It's so small that, you know, when you drive through Belgium, you close your eyes, you're probably out of it. But it's got so much to offer for being such a small country. And the cuisine is one of the top five in the world. Don't forget that. We have some great chefs, some great cuisine. So it's a mix between German and the French cuisine. Don't forget, we got one of the best beers. We got best chocolate in the world.
So it's a place for foodies, really.
For foodies, for sure.
A lot of people I've heard say you eat as well as the French and as hearty as the Germans.
Absolutely.
Mixing it
together. Absolutely, because it's a mix between those two cultures, and we are in the midst of it.
Now, did the Belgians and Dutch used to be tied together politically?
Yes, before, because the unification for Belgium was 1830.
1830.
Before that, it belonged to Holland for quite like 18 or 20 years.
So what
years.
Was the rationale for the division? What is the fundamental difference between Belgian and Dutch people?
They were Protestant, that's one. I mean,
so that was an issue?
That was an issue.
Belgium is mostly Catholic and the Dutch are...
90-some percent.
90% of the Belgians would be Catholic families.
See, Holland at the time was Protestant.
Because, I mean, you think about the Belgians and the Dutch dividing, but Belgium itself is about 50% French-speaking Walloons and half Dutch Germanic-speaking.
It's actually 60-40. And so it's 60 Flemish and 40% the Walloons, the French-speaking people.
Now, I read a quote from one of your prime ministers, and he said, Belgium is a country united only by a king, the love of beer, and a soccer team. So you do have this division problem.
We do have, but we deal with it. You know, we civilians get along, and sometimes those politicians, they bicker about things, the language barrier, the money divided in two.
But it must be tough.
It's not easy to do something like that, you know, to run a country where there's two languages, number one,
now,
two different mentalities.
Brussels is it mostly French or mostly Flemish?
Well, it's both. That's another problem. So we have three problems. We have the Walloons, we have the Flemish, and we have Brussels
which
as well.
Which is like the dominant city,
the dominant
and it's
city.
Split also.
Yeah.
And now it's so fascinating because the headquarters of NATO is there, the headquarters of the EU.
Yeah, it's all there.
Now, I think one thing that the Flemish and the French people of Belgium have in common is a love of beer. Now, last time I was in Belgium, I couldn't believe it. Half the Americans I met were there on a beer pilgrimage, going to different beautiful pubs and drinking the beer. What do you have, like 120 different varieties of beer?
Well, even more than that. I think we have now, 600 or 650 different kind of beers.
Whoa.
I think I'm proud to say that we have one of the best beers in the world.
Well, I've been studying beers in Europe for like 30 years now, and I'll tell you, I really say that the finest beer
is
in your home country.
It is.
What is it about Belgian beer?
I don't know. Well, this goes way back to like 1,000 years when the monks were, there was a lot of monasteries in Belgium, and those are the ones who came up with the idea. Water was contaminated, and beer was something that was better to drink for the local people, and they developed this into an art.
So if you care about your kids, you'd feed them beer.
Yes. I grew up, I'm 60 years old. When I grew up as a kid, my dad gave me beer. I was 1 or 2 years old, not in
because they
quantities.
Cared about your health.
Well, they had the idea, drink a glass of beer. You went to a doctor.
I've seen signs in the brewery. It said, drink Streif Hendrick. It's good for your
Hendrick.
Health.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's good. There's a stout that said it's made from horse blood. I'm not sure if that's true, but in the old days, maybe it was the case.
Well, you got all these different kinds. Yeah. Generally, they're higher alcohol and yeastier than what you find in Germany or France.
It's pretty healthy if you keep it to the certain So let's quantities talk, you drink.
Trappist. That's a monk beer, the Trappist monks.
Yeah.
And they've got great beer. You can buy it here in the States.
I've seen
Chimay.
It. Chimay, Grimbergen.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, beautiful.
Tell me about the Lambics.
Lambic, that's a Brussels beer. Huh? It's really brewed in Brussels. Lambic is also a cherry beer.
They have different flavors, different fruit flavors.
Oh, yeah. But the one I like from Lambic is the cherry one.
Okay.
I mean, I'm more of a light. I drink beer, but in small quantities. But I like that kind of cherry-flavored beer, which Lambic is one of them.
Now, what about the very strong ones? They got sort of devilish names.
Oh, the Duvel. That's 8%, almost 9% of alcohol in one bottle of beer. And let me tell you, that's a strong beer. If you drink five of those, I guarantee you.
Other beers like Judas, Satan, Lucifer. Yeah, I mean, they really go for that hellish strong
fruit.
Beer.
Yeah. I mean, all that stuff.
And there's this tradition, quack.
Oh, the quack. That's interesting. The quack is named after the glass they pour it in. It's like one of those laboratory glasses. They have
like
kind
a beaker.
A beaker, exactly. And when you drink it, the beer quacks.
It makes a sound.
It makes a sound of quack, 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 quack. That goes in there because it's a narrow neck. That's why they call it a quack.
I'm Rick Steves. We're talking about Belgium with Ferdinando Mengi, who was born and raised in Belgium. Ferdy, when you think of Belgian cuisine, you think of Vlaamse frit.
Ah, Vlaamse fritten.
French fries.
Yes.
Of course, they don't call them French fries in Belgium.
No, we call them fritten, just fries.
Fries. Or Vlaamse would be Flemish, right?
Yeah, Vlaamse is Flemish, yeah.
There's actually a museum in Bruges all about fries.
Yeah, you can go in there and on the end of the tour, you can get little fries to eat.
Chefs are evangelical about their fries. I mean, they just love these fries. I've been in the kitchen and you fry it twice, right?
Twice. The first time you fry them on a lower heat, like 160 Celsius, and the second time you fry them, you let them cool off a little bit, and then you fry them on 180, just 20 degrees higher, just to brown them. First to cook them, and then to brown them.
Oh, so first cook it,
and then
first
to make
nice
the potato tender.
And it's an art. I mean, you choose a place according to the quality of the fries.
It depends on the potato. It depends on the oil, what you use.
What do you dip your fries in?
Mayonnaise, of course. I always tell my people, you should eat fries with mayonnaise.
I'm sorry. I try to do what the locals do, but dipping my fries in mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's the way it is. I mean,
now,
not everyone.
When you order, when you're going to get a classic Belgian meal, it might be mussels and fries.
Yes, that's our national dish, I think.
Comes in a big bucket, right?
Big black bucket. They're always black, but they come about 2 pounds in a portion. So,
and I think a very good tip for a traveler is you'll look like a local if you use a mussel shell.
Yes,
to pinch out the mussel from the.
You know, I'm a local. I can say it. I was born there. I never use it. I use my fork.
Oh, you
that's
do?
It. Yeah,
I like
easy.
That because they have this wonderful little mussel that lets you pinch them. Yeah. And as a good Belgian appreciating mussels, you avoid mussels when the season's wrong.
Well, this was in the old days. I mean, mussels were harvested from the open water.
Okay.
They had them open in the North Sea. But now they're far more farm-raised. They're more controlled, and they can really control the growth of mussels.
So you don't have that buy them in season anymore?
There is a little bit of that, but not as intense as it once was.
It
in the old days,
it
was only
thing.
3 months, September, October, November, and maybe December, and that was it. Okay, now we have pretty much 8 months out of the year.
Now, Brussels is the dominant city with 2 million people. You've got other cities to stop at. What would you recommend people be sure to visit when they're in Belgium?
I would definitely go to Bruges. That's for sure. One of our proud cities, I think, of Belgium because of the architecture you see, the beautiful canals. You feel like you're kind of not similar to Venice, but kind of in that order. You have the canals.
And the interesting thing about Bruges, B-R-U-G-G-E-S, the interesting thing about Bruges is it's so beautiful today because it was such an important trading center in its heyday, four centuries ago or something like this.
Yes, for the hops,
For the hops, is that right? For the beer.
Hops made it rich. Hops made Bruges what it is today.
Again,
it goes back to the monks, and people knew when they drink beer, they will feel better, they will be happier, and they wouldn't get sick, except for a hangover maybe, but that's about it.
And my favorite brewery tour in Belgium is in Bruges.
Yes.
And my favorite little pubs that are so famous for their beer.
The
conviviality in those pubs is just incredible. And then when you want to just kind of have a little quiet time, you go to a Begijnhof. What is a Begijnhof?
Begijnhof is one of those begins, we call them. Those were women. They lived kind of like nuns, but they never took vows. So they were usually widowers or single women.
So there was an abundance of women back in the old days because so many men were
went to war for sure.
So how does society absorb those? They have a little kind of a convent where
women
will go.
Beautiful to visit.
And then didn't they earn their keep by praying for rich people?
Yes, they took
so they get
some offense.
A humble little wage, and then they spend hours a day just praying for rich people's souls.
They do delays and all that
and
stuff.
Delays,
it was started with the begins.
Beautiful, beautiful place. So you can check out those Begijnhofs.
Beautiful
of the
to visit. There's one actually open for the public that you can go and visit and see how those women lived.
Tour guide Ferdy Menge is sharing the pleasures of his home country of Belgium right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com.
We have an email from Julie in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Julie writes, my church choir traveled to Brussels, Bruges, and Ghent last summer. What a surprise and delight Ghent was. This city is off the standard radar of travel destinations. It's just wonderful. Tell us about Ghent.
Ghent is a city that a lot of people don't go, and it's a shame. But you know what? Ghent is in the shadow of Bruges because it's not that far. It's only like 50 kilometers of distance between
the two cities. It's midway between Brussels and Bruges,
yes.
Right, on the train. So you can stop there. There's probably two trains
gosh,
an hour.
You're at the St. Peter station. You take a train right in the center of Ghent. You walk around. You have this beautiful architecture. Also a very rich past you can see. But again, it's in the shadow of Bruges.
It's kind of Bruges in the rough.
Exactly.
Bruges is so, it's a little bit expensive.
Known.
It's so touristy and cutesy. It's almost like a fantasy world. But you go to Ghent and you're going to get, you know,
a really working city.
Working
city, exactly.
Patrick from Indian Town, Florida emails us. And Patrick says, I visited my brother while he was a student in Belgium. I love the country, especially the food. The chocolate was the best, not to be missed. What is it about Belgian chocolate?
That goes way back in time. I think we were just had the best, I mean, I would say a cook or a chef who can make the best chocolate. So we are sort of the inventors of the good chocolate. I mean, they just did it right.
And each town has its local chocolatier,
Everybody
has their favorite maker.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that on a hot day, they actually shut down because they don't put a lot of wax in the chocolate to survive the heat.
It melts easily.
And it's interesting that, you know, if I go to a pastry shop and I buy some sort of a pastry, you want a fresh pastry. But I never really thought about fresh chocolate. But actually, Belgians like their chocolate to be fresh.
Oh, yeah. You go into those little tiny shops. They're usually not big.
Is that true that you are aware that it's been made
in
the last couple of
years? And you can actually,
when you
go to Bruges, you see those chocolatiers, that's how they call it.
Yeah.
And you can see how they make them in the back. Now you can see how they put them in little molds and stuff like that. So it's very interesting to see and definitely to taste, that's for sure.
You sound like you're proud to be a Belgian.
I am proud to be a Belgian. Of course I am. It's a small country.
It's a small country with a distinct culture and a way of life.
Yeah. People maybe don't know that much of the country, but if you talk about chocolate, beer, lace and stuff, they know exactly.
Then he goes, hey, I do know Belgium.
I do know Belgium.
All right. Well, let's not miss Belgium on our next trip. Ferdinando Menge, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure.
We'll hear about the challenges and rewards of living in a completely different world in Arctic Alaska in just a bit. But next, author Katie Marin returns to Travel with Rick Steves to recommend some of the great gardens you can visit around the world.